First Samuel chapter 30. And our text for this morning is found there in verse 11. First Samuel 30 and verse 11. And they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread, and he did eat, and they made him drink water. One of the lesser knowns that we read about in Scripture, and what we've read this morning about this young Egyptian man, that's all we have written about him in all of Scripture. He's most certainly one of the lesser knowns. It was probably one of the bitterest and darkest experiences in the life of David. For when he and his 600 men arrived at Ziklag, they beheld a terrible sight. They found that the Amalekites had invaded that place and burned it with fire. We read that there in the verse 1. But the sword of affliction plunged even deeper into the hearts of David and his men. When we read in verse 2, and they had taken the women captives that were therein, they slew not either any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. After a long journey, David and his men had been no doubt looking forward to returning to the comforts of home. But what was not, that was not to be. No, no welcoming embrace from their wives. No opportunity to lift their children up in their arms. Instead, Ziklag was nothing but a burning heap, and all their wives and their children were gone. The only sound that could be heard there in that smoldering place that was known as Ziklag, the only sound that was heard was the weeping of David and his men. For we read in verse 4, then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Then, in the midst of their distress, those men, those 400 men, turned against David. And we're told in verse 7, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters, they were going to stone David. He was their leader. He was their king after all. And they blamed what had taken place that day on David. But then we read in verse 6. We read David encouraged himself in the Lord. And then he prayed. He prayed. He inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? We know that God answers prayer, and he certainly answered the prayer of David that day. For we read in verses 6 and 8, the Lord answered and said, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them and recover all. But for David, what direction was he to go in? He didn't know where the Amalekites had gone, where they had taken the wives of the men and their children. What direction would he go? But God had already prepared the way for David and for his men to go and to recover all. Because God providentially placed in his way a young Egyptian man, a young man who, even though he was an Egyptian, he would be used by God to fulfill God's will and purpose. He had told David in answer to his prayer, yes, pursue, and thou shalt surely overtake them and recover all. And here this young Egyptian man was part of God's plan and God's purpose to retrieve and rescue the wives and the children. This young Egyptian was at the point of death. But in God's providence, he was saved. And then he served God's purpose. He is a type of the sinner who is saved, and then they are used by God in his service. One of the lesser knowns that we find in Scripture, but many lessons can be learned from this young Egyptian. And seeing how God used this young Egyptian, you might ask yourself, would God use me? And that's my subject for today. Would God use me? He used this young Egyptian in a wonderful way. And we can say, would God use me? I want us first of all to consider the young man and his situation. The young man and his situation. Even before this young Egyptian met with David, God already had a plan for his life. It was like Saul of Tarsus. You turn to Acts chapter 9. We read there, we know we're familiar with the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. But we see what God said about Saul. Acts chapter 9 and verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, that is Ananias, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And so there's the Lord telling Ananias, whom the Lord had told to go and see Saul. The Lord had told Ananias, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And so Saul of Tarsus was a chosen vessel unto the Lord. And you look at this young Egyptian, and we find that he also was God's chosen vessel, because God was going to use him. He would be used in the pursuit and the defeat of the Amalekites and the recovering of the wives and the children of David and his men. He was a chosen vessel. Regarding this young man and his situation, let us consider his person. He was an Egyptian. And indeed he told David in verse 13, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite. The word servant there means bond man. So that tells us that he was a slave to his Amalekite master. So we combine these details together and we find a young man, a slave from Egypt. He was a servant to a hard task master who cared little or nothing for him. He had left him in the field because he had fallen sick, and he just went and left him there, didn't bring him with him, cared nothing about him. And yet the Lord was going to take this dying young Egyptian lad. He was going to take him, this helpless individual, and use him as a chosen vessel against the Amalekites. Now we look at that young man who was barely alive and wonder, how could God possibly use him? Well, we ought to remember the words of Paul over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 27 and 28. Verse 27, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God had chosen the weak things. Well, that young Egyptian was weak. He hadn't eaten, he hadn't drunk any water in 3 days, he was already sick. He was weak, all right. The weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, the base things. The base things of the world and things which are despised have God chosen, yea, and things which are not. In other words, nobodies. Things that are not. People who are not. Just nobody. Foolish, weak, base, despised, and nobodies. That's who God chooses. And here, he had chosen this young Egyptian that he was going to use against the Amalekites. But yet, when you look at the young Egyptian, and you look at what Paul said there in 1 Corinthians, we see ourselves. 1 Corinthians is a description of us. Who are we, or what are we? We're nobodies, we're nothings. But the wonderful thing is, God takes the nothings of this world and he uses the nothings of the world to be something for the Lord, to be something for him. And since God had a plan for this young Egyptian, we ought to take heed to a truth. God has a plan for every one of us. The Lord didn't just save us to drift on through life and do nothing for him. He chose Saul of Tarsus, one who had persecuted the church taken God's people and put them in prison. He hated the church so much, and yet he was a chosen vessel unto the Lord. The Lord was going to use him, and the Lord can use any one of us, as well as the person. We notice the place. We're told that when David's men came upon this young man, he was there lying in a field. In a field. When the Lord Jesus told the parable, the story of the sower, in that parable, the Lord Jesus said, the field is the world. The field is the world, Matthew 13, verse 38. And so here you have a picture of a young man, like so many young people today. And where are they? They're in the world. They're in the world. And you think of this place where this young man was found. He was in a field. Well, evidently, there was nothing in the field. It was a desert place. Because he hadn't eaten. If there had been any fruit trees there, he could have eaten some of the fruit, but there was nothing there. It was a desert place, just like the world. What is there in the world today? We look back and we can say, yeah, there's nothing in this world. There's nothing in this world to satisfy our hunger. There's nothing in the world to satisfy us. We search Vanity Fair, find nothing. We tried the broken cisterns, but the waters failed. And even as we stooped to drink, they mocked us as we wailed. We sought the pleasures of sin. But don't we know? They only lasted for a season. There's nothing in this world that satisfies the longing of the soul. Yet, God had his eye upon us there in this world. He knew where we were, and so providentially he brought us to himself. You think back to when you were saved. Where did the Lord find you? Where were you when he saved you? Was it in a meeting? Was it at home? Where was it? We often make reference to Pastor Willie Mullen, great preacher. Windsor Avenue Baptist Church in a town called Lurgan in Northern Ireland. Willie Mullen, you know where he was saved? He was saved in the middle of a field. He was in a field, he was going to commit a crime. And God arrested him. Because he had been invited to a gospel mission a number of weeks before. And when he left that gospel mission, he said, I'll never be back there. But when he got into that field that day to commit a crime, he was going to rob a house, God arrested him. And Pastor Willie Mudd, you look at his life. And when if you'd known Willie Mullen before he was saved, you'd say, how could God use a man like that? He lived in an old run-down house in the town of Newton Ards with a bunch of boys that were up to no good. But he was a chosen vessel unto the Lord. And the Lord saved him in the middle of a field. And Willie Mullen became one of the greatest preachers Ulster ever saw or ever heard. Great friend of Dr. Paisley. God had a work for him to do. You look at this young Egyptian, and God had a work for him to do. A very unlikely candidate, as it were, lying in a field, dying. How could God possibly use him? So said you look at Pastor Willie Mond and his unsaved dead, you could say, how could God possibly use a man like that? It was up to no good. He wrote a book. The title of the book was Tramp After God. That's how he viewed himself, as a tramp. Oh, but God took that man and used him to be a mighty preacher and a soul winner. God can use any of us. And you say, would God use me? Yes, he would. Yes, he would. If the person, the place, there he was in the field. You have also his plight. Now things did not look very hopeful for this young Egyptian. Look at verse 12. At the end of the verse 12. For he had eaten no bread, nor drunk any water 3 days and 3 nights. And David said unto him, to whom belongest thou, and whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, a servant to an Amalekite, and my master left me because 3 days agone I fell sick. Look at the plight of that young man. And his master had left him for dead. He was sick. Left him in an open field. No food, no water. That's where his master had brought him to and then left him there. How well does this typify for us? The master that we once served. The god of this world, the devil. We served the devil. We went his ways. We did his commands. Did he care about us? Of course he didn't. Didn't care about us at all. He would leave us for dead. Take us down to a lost eternity. That was the master we once served. Like Legion. There in the land of Gadara. Turn please to Mark 5. And here once again, you look at Legion. And you know, Legion was a chosen vessel. Because the Lord used Legion. You wouldn't have thought that. When we're introduced to him there in Mark chapter 5. So there in Mark 5 and verse 2. And when he was come out of the ship, that's the Lord Jesus, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been oft bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And there he was in the verse 5, in the tombs, in a graveyard, cutting himself with stone, running around naked like a madman. But listen, God used him. As unlikely as it may appear, God used him. And you were to look upon that man as though people of that city came out and tried to help him and tried to tame him by binding with chains. never would have thought of that man called Leighton becoming a Christian and serving God. He served the Lord all right. Look at Mark again. Chapter 5. Verse 19. Howbeit, listen, the Lord has dealt with them. He's cast out the unclean spirit. When the people of the town come out to see him, they find Legion at the feet of Christ, sitting and clothed, and in his right mind. And Legion wanted to go with the Lord. Verse 19. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them there's a service. Tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in the capitals how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. There was a service for God. No. He wasn't called to the mission field. He wasn't called to go to some far off land. He had a mission field at home. And that's where Legion served the Lord. He served the Lord at home. The Lord can use any man or woman whom he has saved. You say, would God use me? Yes, he would. He used Legion. He used Saul of Tarsus. He used Willie Mullen. He used this young Egyptian. He can use any one of us. Would God use me? Yes, he would. We've considered the young man and his situation. Look now at the young man and his salvation. Before God used this young Egyptian, he was saved from his sickness, his hunger, his thirst. He was saved really from dying. Regarding this young man and his salvation, notice first of all that he was found. It is amazing how this young man providentially was found. Look at verse 11. And they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread. And he did eat, and they made him drink water. Think of it. Had this young man not been found by David and his men as he lay there in the field, in all probability, he would have perished. He would have died. If Christ had not found us, we would have perished. We would have died and gone to hell had the Lord not found us. And we're told that when David's men found him lying in a field, they brought him to David. Now David here is a type of Christ. Christ, David's greater son. And here we see that when David's men brought this young man to David, they had no idea. Think of this. They found this young Egyptian in a field dying. They brought him to David. They had no idea that this young Egyptian would be used to go against the Amalekites and to recover their wives and their children. They had no idea how God would use him when they found them lying that day in a field. And that soul that you seek, maybe there's someone the Lord has laid upon your heart to speak to and to witness to, and that soul that is upon your heart, you have no idea. If you were to lead that soul to Christ, you have no idea how the Lord would use that soul. Those who suffered under the persecuting hand of Saul of Tarsus, they would have had no idea that that same Saul of Tarsus would one day become one of the greatest missionaries that ever lived. And when David's men brought this young Egyptian to David, they had no idea this young Egyptian would be used of God to rescue their wives and their children. See, you never know. That's all we seek to bring to Christ. We do not know how they can be used of God. You turn, please, to the Gospel of John. John's Gospel, chapter 1. Here you have a perfect example of that, of what we just said. No idea how God can use an individual. Even now, they're still in the world. They're lying in the field, the desert field of the world. There's no thought of time or eternity. There's certainly no thought about serving God. But if they were saved, there's no telling what the Lord has in store, how the Lord would use them. Look at John chapter 1, verse 40. And one of the two which heard John speak followed him, that is, followed the Lord. Followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. What does Andrew do? Verse 41. And he first findeth his own brother Simon. And so Andrew has been with the Lord. Andrew has met the Lord. And what was the first thing Andrew did? He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And look at the next words. And he brought him to Jesus. Brought him to Jesus. What did Andrew and Simon turn out to be? Turned out to be the Lord's disciples. They turned out to be the Lord's apostles. They turned out to be the preachers of the gospel, leading many souls to Christ. Go down to chapter, verse 45. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said unto him, come and see. Come and see. There was Andrew. There was Simon. There was Philip. There was Nathanael. Fisherman. Who would have thought? Common fishermen would become the Lord's apostles. the Lord's servants to be witnesses unto him in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. See, you never know. And this would surely be an incentive for us to seek souls and find them and bring them to Christ, for there's no telling how God can use them in his service. Fascinating study, isn't it? We see first of all, or we see next, we've seen this young Egyptian, he was found. Next we notice he was favored. So David's men brought him to David, and we see what David did. Again, look at verse 11. They brought him to David and gave him bread, and he didn't eat. And they made him drink water, and they gave him a piece of a cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and three nights. He was well favored, wasn't he? David and his men could have left him there. You look carefully there and what David gave that young man. Bread, one. Water, two. Cake of figs, three. Two clusters of raisins. That's not hard to count. They gave him five things. Five things. Bread, water, cake of figs, and two clusters of raisins. That makes five. And we know five in Scripture is the number of grace. How was this young Egyptian saved from dying there in the field? He was saved by grace. The grace of David. David had compassion on him and showed grace. So we can say he was saved by grace. Saved by grace, then used by the Lord to rescue the wives and the children that had been taken by the Amalekites. Isn't that why we are saved? By grace. Saved by grace alone. This is all my plea. Jesus died for sinful men, and Jesus died for me. That's grace. That's what Paul preached. Didn't Paul say, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves? It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Just as well, isn't it? For you look at this young man lying there in the field, dying, starving. Well, there were no works attributed to his name. No good works. But he was saved by grace. David had compassion on him. You never know. The most unlikely individuals God can take and use. We've already mentioned Saul of Tarsus. We've already mentioned Legion. We've already mentioned William Ollam. The young Egyptian. I'll tell you about somebody else. A great American evangelist called Mel Trotter. Mel Trotter, in his unsaved days, lived a life of drunkenness. He tried many times to give up the drink. He lost numerous jobs. He couldn't hold down a job because of his addiction to drink. Listen to this. When his 2-year-old son died, Nell Trotter went and took the shoes of his 2-year-old child and sold them to get money to buy more drink. He sold his own shoes so he could buy more drink. But imagine, do you imagine a man doing that? Taking the shoes of the feet of your dead child to buy drink. Nell Trotter one night staggered into Pacific Garden Mission Hall in Chicago. Nell Trotter was converted that night by the grace of God. Boy, isn't it marvelous what the grace of God can do. Nell Trotter got saved that night and became one of America's greatest evangelists. And he founded many mission halls to reach the down and outs, what he was himself. Now tell me, if you'd have known Mel Trotter at the time he took the shoes of his child's feet, his dead child's feet, would you have looked at him and said, that man's going to be a great evangelist one day? Not at all. You'd have looked at Mel Trotter and said, there's no hope for that man. A down and out, good for nothing drunkard. But we see what the grace of God can do. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace. And you ask, could God use me? Would God use me? Of course he would. When they have seen the individuals that he saved and used. He was found. He was favored. And then we're told about his faults. Having experienced the gracious attitude of David, this young Egyptian was spoken to by David. Look there in verse 13. And David said unto him, to whom belongest thou? And whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite. My master left me, because 3 days ago I fell sick. Now look at verse 14. We made an invasion upon the south of the Kerethites and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah and upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. Notice his wording. He didn't say, they burned Ziklag with fire. He says, we burned Ziklag with fire. In other words, he owned up to what he did. In other words, he said to David, I confess. I played a part in burning Ziklag. He didn't try and distance himself from the actions of the Amalekite army. No, he said, we did it. I did it. And you know, that's the turning point in anyone's life. That's the turning point. When a man or a woman comes before God and confesses their sin and repents of their sin, that's the turning point in their life. When Mel Trotter went into that mission hall that night and got converted and confessed his sin, glory to God, he never touched another drink since. The craving for the alcohol, Dr. Paisley used to call it the devil's buttermilk. The craving from the devil's booze was taken away. Never touched it again, never crossed his lips again. He was a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. That's what the grace of God can do. And here, this young Egyptian, he confessed to David, yes, I played my part in the burning of Ziklag. He owned up to what he had done. Just as Saul of Tarsus had prayed, Lord, what will thou have me to do? The young man, the young Egyptian, was lying in a field. Saul of Tarsus was lying on the side of the road, in the road to Damascus. When God dealt with Saul of Tarsus, and the first thing that Saul said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Notice, he called him Lord. There and then, at the side of the road, on the road to Damascus, Saul of Tarsus acknowledged Christ as his Lord. Lord. Is he your Lord? Is he my Lord? Is he Lord of our life? And you say, would God use me? Answer, yes. Well, he used the young Egyptian, as we'll see. He used Mel Trotter. He used Willie Mullen. He used Saul of Tarsus. He used Legion. He'll use each one of us here. So I've seen the young man and his situation, young man and his salvation. Brings us now finally to the young man and his service. Now we see how this young Egyptian was used by the Lord against his former master. That will we do when we get saved. We serve the Lord against our former master. We serve the Lord against the devil. Do whatever we can against the devil. Regarding his service, notice first of all the challenge. He had no sooner been brought to David and saved from perishing there in the field than David challenges him. Verse 15. And David said to him, canst thou bring me down to this company? He challenged. In other words, he's just been saved from perishing. He's been brought to David. David has saved him by grace. And immediately David challenges him. Canst thou bring me down to this company? In other words, he's saying to the young Egyptian, are you prepared to serve me? Are you prepared to be my servant and lead my men to where the Amalekites are found? I find that interesting. But just mention Saul of Tarsus. And Saul met the Lord there on the road to Damascus. And the first thing Saul said, remember, he's now saved. He's just been saved on the road to Damascus. And the first thing Saul said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? How can I serve thee? See? No sooner saved than he was ready to serve. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And here's this young Egyptian. You could say he's only just saved. And David challenges him. Are you prepared to serve me now? Canst thou bring me down to this company? No sinner was legion delivered from the demons that had plagued his life. And he's ready to serve the Lord. He's ready to go with the Lord. And we know, as we've already said, the Lord told him, you go home. You go home to your friend and tell them what great things the Lord has done for thee. And we read, and to thy friends and tell them the great things the Lord has done for thee. And had compassion on thee. And that's what he did. Spread it abroad. He served the Lord. Now he didn't go to the mission field. But he served the Lord in his home mission field. Can God save me? Or can God use me in his service? Will God use me? Yes. We've seen the people he has saved and the people he has used. Quickly, you have his consent. Verse 15, I will bring thee down to this company. But you'll notice, he said to David, that he didn't swear unto me, thy God, that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me unto the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. In other words, he said to David, I don't want to go back to serving the Amalekites. Don't let me go back. When someone's truly genuine, born again, no, they don't want to go back to the old life and to the old ways and to the old world and serving their old master. They want to serve their new master. This young man wanted to serve his new master. That was the least he could do, isn't it? It was the least he could do, because his David had saved his life, and the least that he could do was to serve him. Christ has saved us. The least we can do is serve him. I gave my life for thee, thy precious blood I shed, that thou might ransom me and quicken from the dead. I give my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? What hast thou given for me? The challenge, the consent. When you have the conquest, you can read the verses yourself. They went and they conquered the Amalekites, and they recovered all their wives and their children. Who did God use? He used a young Egyptian. Mark the word, young man. Yeah, young man. With his whole life ahead of him. That's the time to start serving God. Give your life to him. Since God can use the foolish things, the weak things, the base things, the despised things, the things which are not, God can use any one of us here today. He has saved us. Let us serve him. Use me, Lord, in thy service. Draw me nearer every day. And I'll be willing, Lord, to go all the way. And if I falter while I'm trying, just help me then to stand. And I'll be willing, Lord, to go all the way. This young Egyptian went all the way. Led David and his men, and they conquered the Amalekites and recovered all. Would God use me? Well, he used this young Egyptian. He used Saul of Tarsus. He used Mel Trevor. He used Willie Mullen. He used Legion. Yes. Would God use me? Yes, he would. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's the least you can do. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Oh dear Lord, we bow before thee again. We thank thee, Lord, for what we have read, learned about this young Egyptian, this young man, and how, Lord, thou didst use him in a wonderful way. Oh Lord, we believe thou will and can and would use each one of us to serve thee. But they be numbered and are numbered with the weak things, the things that are not. And Lord, sure, that's who thou dost choose and thou dost use. Again, Lord, I pray, write thy word upon our hearts. Be with us, O Lord, as we part the one from the other, thanking thee again for the opportunity to fellowship one with the other here in the house of God. Lord, help us all to give 100% for thee, to redeem the tithe, for the debts are evil. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.